You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word.
If asked, what are the benefits of salvation? How would you answer? Well, we might say eternal life. But what about here and now? Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, Dr. J. Vernon McGee takes us to chapter 5 of Romans to find out what the Apostle Paul says are the 8 present benefits of every believer, meaning those benefits of our salvation which we can enjoy now. So as you open your copy of God's Word, Greg and I have got a letter that we want to share from one of our fellow listeners that lives in North America.
Yeah, Steve, when Dr. McGee teaches through Romans, boy, he uses all the time. So we have just a minute to share a really wonderful letter from a member of the World Prayer Team and the beautiful ministry that people have. You want to read this?
Yeah, this is from Phyllis from Arkansas. I'm retired, and because of circumstances, we are not able to travel, but I can pray. The World Prayer Team gives me a chance to kind of visit other places and peoples. I always click on the map to see the pictures and read the stories, also to find out where each country is located. What a blessing to be able to pray for these precious people and to learn more about them and our world. I even listen to a little bit of the program in each language. Love you all for what you are doing to bring God's Word to the whole world.
Tremendous. And this is why, if you're a regular listener, you know that Steve strongly encourages, yea, verily, exhorts you
yes.
to join the World Prayer Team. And we have no other agenda in asking you to do that than for you to participate in this amazing ministry around the world and to give you an opportunity to minister.
Yeah. Yeah, and it so informs your prayer life. You know, when you have prayer prompts, I find it so helpful to read scriptures, particularly the Psalms, before I pray. It just puts your mind on Christ and what God has in His Word. And then when you can then pray for somebody effectively, so many of the stories that we have are people that are struggling, people that are in a Muslim environment where being a Christian ain't so easy to do, or places where there's other persecution, or where there's real growth. And all of those things should stir your heart to pray more effectively instead of just kind of generally. Yeah, that's an important part too, but to pray specifically for people, you have an opportunity to do that by going to ttb.org/pray. Greg, why don't you do that for us now?
Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for the thousands of people that pray every day for your word to run freely around the world and impact lives. And we pray now as we study in the book of Romans that you would open our hearts and minds and change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we come here to the 5th chapter of Romans, Paul is answering here one of the questions that would naturally come up, that we've been saved by the redemption that we have in Christ. We have been spending time with that, and that redemption had been purchased by that tremendous price for us upon the cross, and it delivers us from the guilt of sin, so that the sin question has been settled. That means that will not come up before God for judgment. It means that an eternal home is for those that have trusted Christ. Now, when I say will not come up before God for judgment, we're talking now about salvation. We will be judged for our works, but salvation is not in question there at all. Now, the question that is before us today is, what about the here and now? I heard a liberal preacher many years ago make this statement. He said, I do not believe in a religion of the hereafter. I believe in a religion of the here and now. Well, what about the here and now? I know that in San Francisco in the early days of the hippie movement, I was talking to one of them on a street corner, and he didn't want to hear about Christianity. He says, that's the pie in the sky, by and by, religion, and I don't care for that. And so I said to this young fella then, you believe in getting pie here and now then and not by and by. He said, that's right. Well, I told him, I said, it doesn't look to me like you're getting very much pie right here. And he admitted that he wasn't. And I said, well, it's tragic indeed, isn't it, to miss the pie here and now and miss it hereafter also. Well, Paul now is going to show that there are certain benefits that accrue to the believer right here and now when he trusts Christ, when he's been justified by faith in the redemption that we have in Christ. And these are benefits, actually, that the world is very much concerned about today, because we find that they are after these things also and would like to have them. And many people are spending a great deal of money to attain the things that are the present benefit of every believer. That doesn't mean they're all enjoying it, but God's got it on the table for you, and all you have to do is to reach over and take it. And we want to see these. Now, the benefits that we have here, the first benefit that he mentions here is in verse 1, and I want to take them up ad seriatim, let me say. That is, one after another. There are 8 benefits in all. Now, let me note this first one. He says here in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. And let me pause there a moment. And that means by one act of faith, the moment that we trust Christ. And then he goes on, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible mentions several kinds of peace. There's world peace. And the United Nations has worked at it as the old League of Nations did. They didn't get anywhere in the past, and they're not getting anywhere today. And right now, great many people believe that if you protest hard enough, that you're going to bring peace in the world, and that you can do it by human manipulation, psychological gyrations. Well, my friend, as long as there's sin in the hearts of men, there'll never be peace in the world. Not until the Prince of Peace comes, and he'll bring peace on the earth, but that's not the kind of peace that Paul is talking about here. Then there is that peace that's known as tranquility of soul. That is the peace the Lord Jesus mentioned when he says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. That's John 14:27. That is a peace that comes to certain believers who have trusted Christ. I don't think all of us have experienced it. And it's to those who are not only resting on him, but have committed their life to him and are doing his will. I wish today that I could say to you that I've experienced this peace all the time. I'm sorry, I do not. I suppose I'm like most of you. I have up and down experiences. There are times when this peace floods my soul, and it's wonderful. I recognize, though, that it's available for the believer. But I find that sometimes that when we're under tension, when we're under pressure, when we're weary, that that peace somehow or another eludes us, and we do not experience it. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. Then there is the third kind of peace that Paul mentions in the 4th chapter of Philippians, the peace that passeth all understanding. Well, since it passes all understanding, I certainly don't know what it is. But the peace he's talking about here, he makes it very clear what it is. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the peace that comes to a soul when he's trusted Christ as Savior, and he knows that God no longer has any charge against him, and he's no longer guilty. And that God now, who had to be against him, is now for him. And that he has a salvation that's permanent and eternal. That's the peace that comes because of sins forgiven. And everything's right between you and God because of what? Well, you'll notice that again and again, Paul mentions the fact that we have peace through the blood of his cross. That means that everything is all right between our soul and God. And that's a wonderful peace. Now, this was explained to me many years ago as a young man in my teens. And the thing that was given to me by a wonderful pastor is that when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, not only did man run away from God and found himself alienated from the life of God and actually was an enemy of God, and he had no capacity for God or no inclination to turn to God, but actually a holy God had to turn away from the sinner. And what actually happened was that when Christ died on the cross, God turned around. And now a holy God can say to a lost sinner, come. His arms are outstretched and he says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll rest you. This is the peace that comes, the rest of redemption. We speak today of this great subject of reconciliation. Now, you don't have to do anything to reconcile God, as we've seen. A great many people today think you have to shed tears. I told you about an evangelist friend, and he is great, I think, as an evangelist, but he loves to get people to weep. Well, friends, tears won't soften the heart of God. I say to this evangelist friend of mine, how many tears do you have to shed to soften God's heart? 12 tears? Well, then 11 won't do. You better squeeze out that last tear. But thank God it's not essential. You don't have to do anything to reconcile God. That's what Christ did for you on the cross. God is reconciled today, and the message of the gospel is, be ye reconciled to God, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now, when you come to him and accept his salvation, then you can experience that peace that your sins have been forgiven. Now, friends, that's a glorious, wonderful experience that can come to the child of God. Now, that's the first wonderful benefit. And believe me, there are a great many people that pillow their head at night that don't know what it is to have peace in their hearts. And how many weary souls that are laboring with a guilt complex, they would love to go somewhere to have the guilt removed from their souls. A Christian psychologist told me several years ago, he says the only place that you can have that guilt complex removed is at the cross of Christ. Now, the second great benefit is here in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, access means that you and I have access to God in prayer. It's wonderful to have someone to go to and to talk about yourself and about your problems and about your life and about your friends and your loved ones. And today, the child of God has access to a heavenly Father who will listen to us here and who does answer our prayer. Now, that doesn't mean he answers it the way you want it answered, but he always hears you. And sometimes he's a good heavenly Father. He says no. But if you take anything as his child to him in prayer, he answers it according to his wisdom and not according to our will. Now you'll notice that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now we come to the third benefit, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's the last part of verse 2. Now, the hope that is mentioned here is the hope that the Scriptures hold out. Paul said to a young preacher by the name of Titus, he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. I don't think looking for the great tribulation is very much of a hope. I certainly am not looking for it, because that wouldn't be any hope at all. But to look for the Lord to come and take his church out of the world, that's a glorious hope, and it'll take place at his appearing. Now, the child of God has a hope. That means he has a future. He has something to look forward to. And you and I are living in a day when man has all the gadgets around him that are imaginable. He has all the comforts of life, and he's in an affluent society. But the interesting thing is, he has no future. James Rustin, one of the reporters and writers of New York Times, who's made the statement several years ago that in Washington there's a feeling that the problems have so mounted up and multiplied that man can no longer solve the problems of this world. Well, actually, man is totally incapable of solving the problems of life. The Word of God, you know, goes along with that, and I suppose that is one time that the New York Times and the Bible agreed. But that's not much of a future, is it? That we have to look forward to in the world. What a dark outlook is being given to us today. And you can play the band and wave the flag all you want to, but you better face facts. There's a cancer in the body politic today. It was Bernard Shaw before he died that made this statement, that he'd pinned his hopes on atheism, and he'd found out that atheism did not solve the problems of the world. And then he made this very unusual statement. He said, "You're looking at an atheist who has lost his faith." Well, I want to tell you that when an atheist loses his faith, he's lost something, or probably lost nothing. He hasn't anything in the world to hold on to at all. Now, may I say to you, the world is looking for a hope. We're looking for a future. And that explains the restlessness that's throughout the world. And that, I think, explains a great deal of the movements of the present moment. And I think it's driven a great many to drug addiction and down other avenues that are dead-end streets. Why? Because they've lost hope of the future. Well, a child of God has a hope, a blessed hope, and he knows that all things are going to work together for good. He knows that nothing is going to separate him from the love of God. How wonderful that hope is today, the blessed hope of the church. Now, the fourth benefit is here in verse 3, and he says, "And not only so, but we glory." Well, a better word there is we joy. Not in tribulations, unless you understand that to mean troubles, but we joy in troubles also, knowing that trouble worketh patience. That is, trouble worketh patience. Patience doesn't come automatically, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, the thing that is quite interesting here are two words that are associated with trouble. One is joy and the other is hope. You probably ought to mention the third, that's patience, but God has to work that into us, although it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it takes trouble really to bring out the very best in the believer's life. That's the only way that God can get fruit out of the life of the believer, is by pruning the branches, and this is the method. Now, this is the opposite that the world uses. If you're in a nice situation, you have no troubles, then you're going to have fun. And then you can also probably be a little patient. That is, if there's no reason for being patient. And then you may have a little hope as you go along. But that's not the way it is with the child of God. Actually, troubles work these things out in our lives. Now, will you notice here that he mentions the fifth and sixth actually that go together? He says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." And that's verse 5. Now, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's the fifth one. It doesn't mean our love for God. It means God's love for us. And this love is made real by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Now, this is the first time that we've had any reference to the Holy Spirit as such, as a ministry, here in this epistle of Romans. And it's just mentioned here in this list of the present benefits. We actually will not come to the ministry of the Holy Spirit until we get to the 8th chapter of Romans. And then he's mentioned many times, over 20. But here the Holy Spirit is given to every believer. Not just to some believers, but to all believers. And he actualizes or makes real the love of God in the hearts of believers. You see, every believer gets the Holy Spirit indwelt by the Spirit of God. Even those carnal Corinthians, Paul said, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" And they were a carnal lot, and he called them babes in Christ. That's wonderful. I'm glad it's that way, because when I came to Christ, I got the whole ball of wax. He gave it all to me. And that's God's love for us. We need today to be conscious of the fact that God loves us. Many people today need to be assured of that in their lives, and only the Spirit of God, of course, can make that real in our lives. Now, will you notice how he explains the love of God? "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Will you notice that Christ died for the ungodly? That's where God revealed his love. Not that Christ died for good boys and girls. He died for the ungodly. Those that actually were his enemies. Those who hated him. Those are the ones that he said when they were crucifying him, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." and you and I were actually in that boat. Now let me say just a word about the love of God. God saves us by love. Oh no, not love. Again, may I make a personal reference. We had a class down in San Diego on Tuesday evenings many years ago, and many of them were believers, and they attended the class. They filled the first two rows there every Tuesday night. And one of them, one night, had on his garments the word love. There was love on his cap, his funny coat, and funny trousers, and even on his funny shoes. And I asked him why he had that there, and he said, "Why, man, God is love." Well, I agreed with that. And he says, "God saves me by his love." And I said, "I disagree with that. God does not save you by his love." That seems startling to a great many folk even today, but actually, friends, God does not save you by his love. You see, God is more than love. He's holy. He's righteous. Now, God cannot open the back door of heaven and slip sinners in under the cover of darkness, and he can't let down the bars of heaven and bring the sinners in. If he does that, he's no better than a crooked judge, lets a criminal off. God has to do something for the guilt of sinners. There must be judgment, you see. But you see, God loves us, and God does love us. Let's not forget that. God loves you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. God loves you. And I think it's wrong to tell little children, if you're mean, Willie, and if you do this bad thing, God won't love you. Well, the interesting thing, God will love little Willie. I don't care what little Willie does. God loved Joe Stalin. I don't know about you. I hated him. And God would have saved Joe Stalin if he'd accepted Christ on his deathbed. I would not have, but God would. God loves you. And I have news for you. You couldn't do anything to keep God from loving you. Now you can step out of the love of God, that's true. For instance, you can't keep the sun from shining, but you can get out of the sunshine. I have a notion right now you're not in the sunshine, but you can put up the umbrella of sin and keep the sun from shining on you. You can put up the umbrella of indifference. You can put up the umbrella of stepping out of the will of God, and all of these things will remove you from the love of God, but God still loves you, and you can come to him anytime you want to. But the interesting thing is, God doesn't save you by love. And this fellow says to me, "How does God save you?" I said, "Well, I'd ask him for a verse to show God saves us by love." He couldn't mention any. I said, "All right, let me take a verse. The Word of God says, 'By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.'" Ephesians 2:8. God saves us by grace, not by love, you see. And that he gave his son to die for you, so that he pays the guilt of your sin, and our holy God now can save you if you come his way. You'll have to come his way. This idea today, you can come your way. This isn't your universe, it's his universe. You and I don't make the rules, he makes the rules, and he says, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." Now notice what he says in verse 7. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Now do you know any folk who would die for you? Could you put on the fingers of one hand those who would be willing to die for you? By the way, could you put on one finger those that love you enough to die for you? Well, you certainly could put it on one finger, because God loves you enough to send his son to die for you. And if it was necessary, he'd appear right now to die for you again, if it would take that to save you. He loves you that much. Verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." For you and for me, that's where God revealed his love. And God doesn't save us by love. He now saves us by grace, because the guilt of sin has been removed by the death of Christ, and he can hold out his arms to save you today. Now that's not all. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. But we'll have to save that until next time. And let me amplify this today. God so loved the world that, did he save the world? No, he doesn't save by love. He did this. God so loved the world, he gave his son to die. Couldn't ask him to do any more than that, because you and I are sinners. But whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you accepted his invitation? He loves you, but he doesn't save you till you trust Christ. So until next time, may the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
Join us next time as the Bible Bus rolls along in Romans. Until then, you can reach us at ttb.org or 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, so grateful for your company today on the Bible Bus as we make our way through the Bible.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole word to the whole world.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM,
and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Of Jesus. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our phone number is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. We thank God once again for this glorious opportunity. There's nothing we can do without Him. He's able to do all things. We depend totally upon Him, for He is the one that makes the difference in all of our lives. Today we want to just look at what the Word of God says and give Him all of the honor and the glory. We want to look at, first of all, St. John 12 and verse 32. But before we get into the Word of God, I want to pray for my radio listeners and faith partners out there in Radio Land, and to allow you to be with us on this glorious day, hearing the unadulterated Word of God. Father, once again, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for this great opportunity. We thank you for all the listeners out there in Radio Land, those that may not be born again, and even those that are born again. We pray for both parties, Lord, because you're the only one that is able to make that transition for them, if they are willing to give their hearts to you. So we thank you and praise you, Lord, and I ask that you would anoint the ears and the hearts of those that are listening to this broadcast, and that they will not just be hearers of the word, but doers of your word. So we thank you and praise you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. We want to look at St. John 12 and verse 32. We want to talk about lifting up Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I said lifting up Jesus. He's the only one that deserves all of the honor and the glory. We're lifting Him up and giving Him all the praise. And not that we're just talking about Him, but that we have an intimate relationship with Him. And that's the most important thing, is that we must know Him, praise God. And when we know Him, then we will listen to Him, and ultimately we will be like Him. So Jesus was speaking there in St. John there. He said that in St. John 12, verse 32, He said, "And if I be lifted up," I'm going to say that again, "and if I be lifted up," He's referring to Himself, "if He would be lifted up, that He would draw all men unto Him." Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That He will draw all men unto Him. Many of us get busy and we try to make people come to church. We try to do all of these things through the energy of our flesh. But I want to tell you today, the Lord Jesus Christ has ordained us all that we just preach His word and let the Holy Spirit do His work in the lives of those that do not know Him. So Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And the scripture tells us that this spake He of the death, that He should die. Well, I want to say something today, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He's died already on Calvary's cross. And this is why it's so important that we lift up Jesus. We don't lift up ourselves, we lift up Jesus. As Apostle Paul has said, that we preach Christ and Him crucified. We don't preach ourselves. And most places are preaching themselves. They're telling people about who they are and what they are capable of doing. Well, I want to say today that we're not capable of doing anything without the help of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is very clear concerning if we lift Him up. Can you imagine for a moment if all the members of the body of Christ, the churches that have been established, that if they were to just lift up Jesus, my God, what do you think would happen? Well, then he will draw all men unto himself. Praise God. And that's the most important thing. Well, I asked a question today. When you go into different fellowships, you see mostly women and not men, or very little men. Well, I asked the question, where are the men? Jesus cannot lie. He had said in his word, he said, if he's lifted up, I tell you, it's very important. We want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And give him all of the glory. Praise God. Lifting him up because of what he has done for us all. Whether we believe it or don't believe it, he's done it all. So let's look at what the Word of God says from Galatians 1 and verse 4. We want to look at that, well, 3 and 4. Praise God. And I'm going to ask Minister Gloria if she just read that third and fourth verse there. Praise God.
Amen.
This is Lift Up Jesus Week.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? I said lift up Jesus. In your churches, lift up Jesus. In your home, lift up Jesus. On your job, lift up Jesus. Lift him up and let him be seen in all of our lives as children of God.
Amen. It says, grace be to you.
Yes, Lord.
And peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father.
Praise the Lord. This is the reason why we lift up Jesus, because he gave himself for our sins. That's what Jesus did. No one else were able to do it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, in our fellowships, wherever we are, then the drawing process will take place. Folks would get saved. I want to say that again. Folks would get saved. They would become born again, because of what's happening is that we won't be talking about ourselves or our experiences. We would be lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, my God. What is happening here today? Many people are lifting themselves up. You can't draw anyone. The Word of God tells us clearly that Jesus said he would draw them.
Amen.
So in order for him to draw the men, all men of mankind, is what he's referring to, unto himself, is that we must lift him up. He is the one that gave himself for our sins. I can't stop talking about what he's done. I can find many other things that would be insignificant, but it won't have any type of revelation that will bring forth a change in the lives of people that hear this broadcast. Jesus gave himself for our sins. He did it according to the will of God. He did it so that he could deliver us from this present evil world. This world is evil. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in radio land? This world is evil. And what we need to do is to lift up Jesus. Glory to God. Isn't there something, Minister?
Yes, that is.
We lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter where we are or what we're doing, we want people to see Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
We want folks to see that we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's all about him, Pastor.
Amen.
All about Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing of us. All about Jesus.
Yes,
what he has done.
Yes, it is. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. So why is it that so many places people are lifting up themselves instead of lifting up Jesus? There are folks that are talking about all things that have no eternal value to them. They are lifting themselves up. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit, when he is in operation, he says that he will point everyone toward Calvary.
Amen.
That's where he will point you toward Calvary. Amen. Don't make no mistake about what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus and only Jesus. He's not lifting up no man. I don't care what gifts are operating in your life. He lifts up Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
He takes us, points us to the cross of Calvary, where the perfect work was done. Would you die for him? No. Would you die for someone? No. It was only the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's look at another verse of scripture, because this is Lift Up Jesus Week here. Praise God. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto himself. Praise God. And he's been lifted up.
Yes.
He was lifted up on Calvary's cross.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, the drawing process took place when he died there on Calvary's cross.
Yes.
But there's so many folks today that they just don't believe. I had a gentleman, we were talking, and he said, oh, well, the cross of Jesus Christ, or the cross of Calvary, shows a defeat. Well, I said, well, I understand what you're saying, because you're not regenerated. But when you become regenerated, glory to God, then you will see it as a perfect sacrifice, one that died for your sins. It's no place of death. He wasn't a criminal. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. And when you become born again, you will believe that. Praise the Lord. And you said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for taking my place, because we all, through our sins, from our mother and father back there in the garden, put us in a position where all of us sin and come short of the glory of God. And the only one that could take our sins was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise
Glory
God.
To God. Isn't he wonderful?
Yes, that's wonderful. Yes.
He was the only one that could, take our sins.
Yes.
You see, and the Word of God tells us that sin, after sin is death, someone had to pay the penalty for sin. You could not do it. I could not do it. None of the patriarchs could do it. It took only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was perfect. He paid the price, satisfied the penalty of sin by giving his life there on the cross of Calvary. My God, why don't we lift up Jesus? Why don't we tell folks about Jesus? Many people go around talking about what they are doing. It means nothing. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the great significance. Praise God. He's the one that deserves all of the honor and the glory. Praise God. So Jesus gave himself for our sins on Calvary's cross. Glory to God. Let's look at another verse of scripture here, because we are lifting up Jesus. Oh, I pray that you understand what I'm saying here today. Lifting up Jesus. I would love to preach this, but this is a good time to teach this, so folks will be able to see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. Praise God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. I'm giving you a scriptural sermon here this morning through lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and telling everybody, glory to God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that took our place on Calvary's cross. Glory to God. Minister Glory, would you read that verse?
For he, God, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, praise the Lord, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Praise God, the righteousness of God in him. Can you imagine? Look at the exchange that took place. He took our old filthy garments, our sins, and he gave us a robe of righteousness to everyone that believe and trust in him. When we lift him up, he'd say, well, listen, give me your sins and I'll give you my righteousness. Praise God. Now, the Father made him to be a sin offering. And I'm going to tell you something out there in radio land, and even around here in this radio station, wherever it is, listen, we have no excuse. Because the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, the Father made him to be a sin offering. Not that Jesus sinned. He was made to be a sin offering for us all. Praise God. He knew no sin. He didn't know any sin. But it was made to be a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Everyone that will believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can walk in the righteousness of God. You can be in right standing with God, because only the Lord Jesus Christ has the capability, has the power to allow you, through you receiving him as Lord and Savior of your life, to have the righteousness of God. Jesus is the way. Mr. Glory, Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the
and
way.
If folks want to get back home and they want to get back to the Father, they have to come through Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And this is why we lift up Jesus. Lift him up to the world. Let the whole world see Jesus. Glory to God. Not only there in the valley of Golgotha on a hill far away. I want to tell you something. Right here in these United States, in this state of Florida, wherever it is, doesn't matter. Locality has no importance. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, because he holds everything in his hands. Now, the Father made him to be a sin offering for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, that's everyone that would believe the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
that would receive him as Lord and Savior of their lives.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, I know this has bilateral meanings to it. When I say bilateral meanings, I'm referring to, like, well, it's for the child of God. If you already know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can walk in the righteousness of God. And even on the other side, a sinner man repent of his sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life, then he too can walk in the righteousness of God.
Yes.
He will be in right standing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is wonderful.
Because I tell you, there's nothing that we can do, and I thank God for everything that he has done.
Amen.
Through his son Jesus.
Praise God.
The perfect sacrifice. And this is why the man saying, well, it's a place of death. Yes, death was there, but it was a sacrifice for us, praise God. The perfect sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It's God's Lamb. Praise God. And we should be thankful for that.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Because all of our sins, the world's sins, were placed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine for that? The world's sin were placed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We were all like sheep going astray. Every man to his own way. And the Lord, Jehovah, glory to God, has laid the iniquities of us all on him, on Jesus. Jesus took the wrath of God for all of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is why we lift him up. Everywhere I go, whomever I come in contact with, I just want to ask you, have you received the perfect sacrifice? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not about what fellowship you belong to, how many people you have. This is, all these things are insignificant. What it is, and folks are trying to make people come to a building, come to church. Well, listen, if you repent of your sins, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then you will become the church and you will want to go to a fellowship.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not about no church building. It's about Jesus. Lift him up. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I tell you, and your life will be changed. All of our lives will be changed. Praise God. When we lift him up.
Yes.
When we receive him as who he says that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Now, the thing is that, Minister Glory,
mm-hmm,
now, Apostle Paul was very specific in everything that he was talking about concerning the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This is why he is the apostle of grace. And this is the whole thing that we need to understand, that it is grace who is the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember reading there in St. John 1 and verse 17, where the word of God says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. So Jesus is grace and he is truth. And when you look at the truth, you'll find grace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the grace of God.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And look at what he's done, Minister Glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find it very strange how folks come, they come to fellowships, and then as soon as, if you're not preaching the works of what man is able to do and the things that man has entangled himself in, saying, well, I've done this and I've done that, then folks really, they don't want to hear what you have to say. They really don't want to hear what you have to say. But when you or I tell them about Jesus and allow the life of Jesus to be seen through each one of us, and I'm not saying that we're perfect, not by any means, and I'm not preaching sinless perfection because none of us are perfect, but I want to tell you, the one that lives on the inside of us is perfect.
Yes.
His name is Jesus. Praise Glory to God. The Spirit of the living God. He changed all our lives. Praise God. Now, another thing, Minister Glory. In Colossians 1, in verse 14, you know, Paul was writing.
I would like to start at 13.
Well, 13, praise God. We give thanks. Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, okay, go ahead.
Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Well, Jesus did that. He translated us from
the power of darkness.
From the power of darkness.
Mm-hmm. Satan's territory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Into the kingdom of his dear son.
Yes.
Now, when Apostle Paul, all the epistles that he was writing, it was not to the sinner man, mm-hmm. but it was to the church.
Yes.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So what is happening is that that verse of scripture is very clear.
Yes.
Concerning you and I and all others that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and believe what he has done for them. But now, where does that leave the sinner man? The one that is unregenerated.
Mm-hmm.
The one that they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something that has to take place,
mm-hmm.
in their lives,
yes.
in order for them to receive this transition here.
True.
Praise God. Because the delivery came through by the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and all of us that have accepted him,
mm-hmm.
as Lord and Savior of our lives.
Yes.
Who has delivered us?
Mm-hmm.
Who has translated
Amen.
Us? Who has done a wonderful work in all of our lives? This is why we cannot boast.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that we can do is lift up Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Tell our children about it. Tell our family members. Tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm nobody, mm-hmm. telling everybody about somebody.
Amen.
And that somebody is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise
so
Lord.
Go ahead, Minister.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Isn't that something?
Yes, that is something.
In whom we have redemption.
Yes.
We have redemption through Jesus.
Amen.
It's not through a church building. It's not through any denomination.
Nope.
We have redemption, well, through his blood.
Through his blood.
Now that blood was shed on the cross of Calvary. That's where the redemption came forth for everyone that would believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My God, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to tell you, one day I heard a voice said, well, if you preach religion, I'll fill this church with people. Well, I want to tell you that today, glory to God, I don't preach religion. I preach Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I said, I preach Christ, and here comes the conjunction, and him crucified. Christ and him crucified. Glory to God. I give the Lord Jesus Christ all of the honor and the glory. Praise the Lord.
Praise
and I'm not saying that it's very easy. It is a warfare that takes place because folks want to talk about themselves and lift up themselves when the scriptures are emphatically clear, as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, and if I be lifted up,
Amen.
I'm gonna lift up Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise God. And I want him, as he said, that he will draw all men unto himself, because he spoke of his death. So he died there on Calvary's cross. So the drawing process begun long time mm-hmm. ago, mm-hmm. 2,000 years ago. Praise God. And we want to lift up Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. So it says here, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption.
Yes.
We're not trying to be redeemed. We've been purchased there on Calvary's cross. Amen.
Amen.
In whom we have redemption. But the redemption came through his blood.
Through his blood.
And the forgiveness of sin came through his blood.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. This is why we lift up Jesus. My Lord, my Lord. Mr. Glory, do you realize the great significance of this? You know, we don't talk about ourselves. We talk about Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He's the one.
Yes.
So redemption through his blood.
Amen.
Through his blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
And the forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Mr. Glory. We want to look at this thing because it's very, very powerful. And when we talk about Jesus,
mm-hmm.
amen, mm-hmm. we engage in our conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God, talking about him. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the wonderful
praise
name of Jesus.
God.
And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that if you believe what the Word of God says mm-hmm. and accept mm-hmm. what Jesus has done for you, then you too can be saved. So I'm going to ask Minister Glory if you would just read Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
It's always like this. You have a volley of scriptures, but you can never finish it.
Mm-hmm.
But only what the Lord allows you to speak. Therefore you speak, and I believe. Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God.
It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith. Hallelujah.
Please, time is winding up. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. God bless you all, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church. Located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.